better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Everybody has strong opinions on this matter, and since this is a show that mainly talks about the Arkansas Razorbacks, a college athletic program, not just football, but basketball, baseball, any of the sports dealing with the Arkansas Razorbacks, this is certainly very current and very relatable and comparable to what Arkansas is. But what you had mentioned a few weeks ago about California, the state of California, trying to get this new bill signed to where NCAA athletes would be able to make money off of their likeness and image.
Right.
Now, it had been going up through the government system and working its way up and got set in front of the governor. And for him to, Gavin Newsom is his name, and he was the one that had the final say to sign off on this to see if it would go into effect, which he did. He signed off, and it's called the Fair Pay to Play Act, which means colleges in California cannot punish the athletes for collecting endorsement money. Now, this does not go into effect until 2023.
Yeah.
So got to make that. Never make sure everyone's known about that.
Colleges can't punish, but the state of California has no jurisdiction over the NCAA.
Right.
Very important point here.
Right. And this is where it becomes it's going to go one of two ways.
Mm-hmm.
This is either going to be where the NCAA flexes their muscle against California and says, no, we're not changing anything. And if you want to start doing that, then you're going to be out of the NCAA.
There is about a dozen other states that have been supportive of the measures that are now, I guess, pending law, if you will, mm-hmm. in California, because the law, as you said, doesn't go into effect for four more years. If states like Florida and South Carolina and about 10 other states enact laws similar to this legislation, it will be a snowball rolling downhill, and it's already rolling downhill. Is it going to gain steam in other states pass this legislation that would enable athletes within their states, college athletes within their states, to have the same rights? My issue is not with the making of the money.
No.
My issue is with the level playing field, because we live in a state that's on the smaller end of every scale that's measured. Population, finances.
Literacy.
All of it. You know, only thing where, you know, there's just very few categories that you look at and say Arkansas is the leader, at least in categories you want to be leaders.
Right.
So I'm about keeping the playing field as level as possible and not allowing rules to be enacted that would allow places with bigger boosters, deeper pockets, more resources to flex that muscle that Arkansas can never catch up on. And you can say, well, that's already happening. Well, to a degree, but if there are, you know, dozens of boosters standing ready to make sure that they've got an army of car dealerships or an army of corporate sponsors willing to pay any 4 or 5 star to be an endorser of their company or their product, then that's going to create an unlevel playing field. I'm more about, I don't, if they want to make the money, fine, on their likeness, fine. Let's just have a levelized playing field.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's where I'm at too, because this isn't something to where the NCAA or even these college institutions are involved with paying the players more. They're not the ones that would be paying the athletes more. This is third party.
Yeah, this would be a local
booster.
Booster, well, essentially.
Yeah.
But a business out there, let's just say car dealership. That would say, I want the starting quarterback at a university to do a TV commercial for our dealership. Or I want the running back and the wide receiver and the linebacker to come out on Sunday afternoon from 3 to 5 and sign autographs, and I'm willing to pay them $2,500 each. That would currently be a major violation of NCAA rules under what California has proposed and what I believe will at some point be the new way of doing business. That will be legal. And the question is, will athletes now just go to the highest bidder? You know, that's the question. Is this going to create an unlevel playing field for schools like Arkansas and Ole Miss and Mississippi State and other places that won't be able to compete with the A&Ms and the Alabamas and the Georgias, who might have bigger metropolitan areas with more businesses to draw from?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one advantage Arkansas would have under this is there's probably no area that has more Fortune 500 companies in its backyard, but those aren't, you know, the Walmarts of the world generally aren't going to have athletes out to sign autographs at the entrance of Walmart 6482 out on Highway 62. You know, they're just not going to do that.
They do pretty well without that.
Right. That's just generally not how they operate. And the Johnson & Johnsons and the Procter's and Gamble's and all, they generally don't get involved in this. But if you ever got that steam, that ball rolling downhill and catching steam, you know, Arkansas could probably get on a levelized playing field with some of the big boys in college sports. The money's in Northwest Arkansas. I just don't know how active they would be in participating in something like this 5 years from now if it got to this point. My concern is certain schools being left behind because, Arkansas is just not in a big market near Atlanta, near Dallas, near Houston, near, you know, keep St. Louis, near, keep going where there's just more businesses that have budgets for things like this.
Yeah, and that would be the problem, too. And I've even said that when it comes to this pay-for-play for likeness and image, which is, this is it. This is not just saying, oh, you play at school, let's pay you money. That's not what this is.
Here's $5,000. We want to put you on our billboard.
Yeah, it's for stuff like that. And jersey sales, if they want to sell jerseys. But the one thing that I looked at it, I was like, okay, I don't mind that either, Tommy. I don't mind them making money. The problem is that instead of having the NCAA, which say what you want about the NCAA, I disagree with a lot of things that they do and have done. But one of the things that they could do in this instance is be the organization that regulates this type of thing, to where they make sure that the amount of money that they are giving to particular athletes for their likeness and image is monitored. But once you get third parties involved and it's out of the NCAA hands, then it becomes to where however much money you want to offer these kids is how much money you can give them. And there's not going to be any, it's not going to be public record. You know, you're not going to see how much some big time quarterback's making, and it's going to become a high bidding war. And what frustrates me is there is a lot, it seems like everybody in the national media, and I don't want to sound like some conspiracy theorist, but it seems like everybody in the national media thinks this is just the most wonderful, great idea. And if you disagree with it, you're a hateful person. Like, and then you're just an idiot because there's nothing wrong with this. There's no wrinkles or anything in this problem or in this thing that they're trying to do. But to me, it just doesn't make sense how you're trying to justify that, because you say, well, these big time players are going to Alabama and these places already. You've got three. You're probably going to have the same national championship game for four out of the past 5 years of the same teams. And so, obviously, the playing field isn't that level either. Okay. But as we all know, college football's cyclical, too.
Yep.
You see teams come and go. When Nick Saban leaves Alabama, I don't care what anybody says, unless they get Dabo Swinney, but when Nick Saban leaves Alabama, they're going to take a step back. And, you know, Clemson wasn't what Clemson is just 6-7 years ago. They were different. College football is ever-moving, ever-changing, and it's cyclical. Texas has been pretty bad for the past few years when they were so good for so long. Things change. But when you have this type of thing getting put into place, which, again, NCAA has to go through it. They have to approve it. They're the ones that essentially have the final say in it all. Then it doesn't become where it's cyclical. There's no building point of a program, and it would be a lot more difficult to do so. And not to mention the impact that it'll have on high school sports, where kids that are 16, 17-year-olds are getting agents and going to. I mean, this is, you can say that this is a little overreaction, but you got to understand what college football and what athletics are. This is the thing that's going to happen. It's not about, oh, well, no, that's a little overreaction. No, these things will happen.
I just have the fear that, I mean, I'm not, no one's sitting here pretending college athletics is pure now.
No, not at all.
That things that are shady don't go on now. But this seems to be, you know, to some degree, legalizing and finding and creating a giant loophole for paying players. You just got to find the right boosters, the right businesses, the right If I'm a coach, if I'm a university, and I want to create the right environment to attract the top talent, I'm going to find the right boosters and the right people that are willing to do what they need to do to get that talent on board for me.
Be the bagman, the legal bagman.
The legal bagman.
Yeah. So there's no longer an anonymous face to
it. Am I misunderstanding what's on the table here?
No.
Now, this California law doesn't go into effect for 4 more years, essentially.
Yeah.
2023. So the NCAA has time to get this thing squared up and squared away to where they have their own rules and regulations and guidelines on this. Question is, will California agree and back off the law they've put on the books? I don't know, but the NCAA better move and move quick.
Yeah, because they're gonna have a crisis on their hands if they can continue to get pressure and other states start following suit of California.
And they've done what they always do. They formed a committee.
Yeah.
So there is a committee studying the issue with the NCAA.
Yeah.
But it's I'm telling you, I fear that the rich will get richer out of this.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about the kids. I'm just talking about the schools will continue. And you can say, well, listen, all the best ones go to Alabama and Georgia and about 3 others anyway. True, but I mean, I'm telling you, it's not going to allow a levelized playing field for the smaller schools. I think the smaller schools will always struggle, even more so, to attract the best talent that's possible out there.
Yeah, we got a few people calling and texting into the Cherokee Casino hotline. Doug in Sherwood says, a lot of people aren't realizing this isn't just football. You got to pay all men and women's athletes, even if the sport doesn't bring in revenue. Now, Doug, that's actually not true, because since it's not an NCAA deal, there's no Title IX.
This is not a Title IX deal.
Yeah, so because, again, this is why they did it this way, so you would avoid the Title IX.
Now, you're right, it's not just football. So in Kentucky, you know, if there's a big business there that wants to pay the starting five for John Calipari's team to come out and sign autographs on a Wednesday afternoon, they can make that arrangement work.
Here's $100,000 each. Bam,
right.
Bam, bam.
Whatever.
Yep. And they can do it, and that's perfectly legal, fine. And in fact, the guy that's paying them can be there and say, yes, I paid these players. I paid them $100,000. It can be out in the open. There's no secrecy to it all. So, yeah, it can happen in any sport.
Just seems like the slime factor is going to go over the top.
Oh, yeah. Just watch the pony.
Sliminess.
Watch the pony excess over there from the 30 for 30 and just look at that, but know that it's all open. It's going to be where no one's hiding in the shadows.
I don't believe for a second it's going to be as overwhelming as we're probably projecting it to be. Businesses at the end of the day still have to make a profit. So, I mean, the idea that, I mean, it would take someone with stupid money just to, hey, here's 50 grand for the starting five on a basketball team, or the quarterback, wide receiver, running back, here's 50 grand a piece to come sign some autographs. I mean, at the end of the day, business people like their money more than they like their athletes.
Yeah.
So, but there's always, you know, there's always the Boone Pickens of the world and people that they got more money than they can burn out there.
Yeah. No, I know it. I know it. But I guess I always look at the worst in things, because I always expect the worst in things when it comes to college athletics and money.
Hey, Morning Rush brought to you in part by Pinnacle Telecom, the local high-speed internet provider and business telephone systems provider that you can find in the River Valley, Northwest Arkansas. How fast is your internet? Were you promised one speed and delivered another, or it's never consistent? You've heard the term gigabit fiber. Call Pinnacle Telecom. Let them explain what they can do by bringing gigabit fiber to your business and having speed you can count on, but more importantly, people and service you can count on with Pinnacle Telecom. Whether it's your business telephone, your internet service, or both, they can handle everything for you and make life a lot easier around the office. 479-242-0000. They specialize in making sure your internet service is exactly what you need, exactly what you ordered, and it's the speed you need for your business. 479-242-0000. And by the way, this is their own fiber internet, their own cabling, their own infrastructure, so they manage it and they have fewer problems that way, and you deal with someone local. 242-0000 for Pinnacle Telecom.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino hotline. Skip is in Bella Vista. What's going on, Skip?
Oh, not a whole lot. Hey, guys, you know, I think this stuff is pretty much already going on. I mean, like, when you have these kids, you see they put, like, 3 hats out there and pick one out. I think that what they really should be honest about and see which one has the biggest pile of cash underneath it. You know, because I think that's what's really going on, especially places like Alabama. I mean, there's no doubt they're paying players at a lot of teams in the SEC. You guys know that. You know, and what you do if you start giving them money, then what you make is the market, if you're trying to figure out which player to gets more than the other, well, it goes on their talent level. And the more popularity that they will get paid. You know, they're not allowed to work. They got to have some way, you know, to support themselves. I know they get a stipend of, what was it, about $1,700 a month for an apartment or something like that.
Cost of living.
But, you know, these players, you know, they've been, you know, a lot of them have been getting paid for a long time. It's just been going on.
I don't know about you. Did you have $1,700 a month to live on when you were in college?
No.
No, I didn't either.
I did not. But, I mean you're right. That's a pretty good, you know, but you got to pay for your apartment and everything else with that. I mean, at least they don't have to borrow money.
Yeah. Well, Skip, let me ask you real quick. What if it was $4,000 a month? Would that be better? Would that be something that would be satisfactory for the athletes? If it was $4,000 a month?
Well, I mean, you can't give every athlete $4,000 a month on the team. I don't think that would be. Would you not agree that some of the players are more of a value to the program than others?
Of course they are. But that's the problem that we're talking about is that when it comes to in the recruiting realm, a lot of cases, here's the thing, it's going to become to where these players are going to particular schools based solely off of who's rolling out the biggest bank book. And again, if you're fine with that, that's okay. But to say that this is not going to have a negative impact on what makes college football great for a lot of people is just false. I think this is going to hurt college football and the passion and the pageantry about it all, and the fans about it all, when it starts becoming to where it's no longer about his kid choosing a school because of the fact that it'll get him to the NFL. He loves the coaches. He loves the area. He loves the people. It's no longer going to be about that. It's going to be like, all right, who's rolling out the biggest check? And wherever that's at, I'll go there.
No, you and I differ in that. I think that's already going on.
No, I'm not saying it's not. It doesn't go on. But the thing is that there's at least rules that are in place, as you're seeing with what's going on with Kansas, for instance, in basketball. Boy, don't you wish they could have just waited a few more years before that rule got put into place. But something like that, to where it's, you know, they're going to get punished for it. And it's the same thing with, you know, when the FBI investigated all these schools. You saw things happen to SMU recently, to Ole Miss, what was going on with them. Yeah, it's going on, but when it becomes apparent and evident that it is going on, there's usually action by the NCAA. May not always be the way that people want it, but at least there is action taking place.
So now Zion Williamson at Duke would be able to be paid by Nike.
Yeah. Or Adidas or whoever.
Yeah. You know, athletes will be working out their own shoe deals before they go to school.
Yeah. I mean, and you're talking, because here's the thing too, Tommy. I know we're really, there's a lot of elements
now,
unfold here.
Now,
but
we're only talking about a handful that would have that kind of power.
Correct.
I mean, but it would have that kind of marketability. At the end of the day, if you're paying someone to be an endorser of your product, you're trying to make a good business decision for your business. Mm. But there's going to be some of these boosters out here that have the money to burn, that they just want their school to win a championship.
Yeah.
And they're willing to put 50 or 100 grand or whatever the number is out of their pocket to help make that cause move forward.
So what if someone like Zion Williamson or whoever, just number one player in the country, what keeps them from, once they get that scholarship offer, to say, you know what, I'm not playing my senior year.
But
seriously, what keeps them from doing that?
Here's the thing. Who's to keep Nike or Adidas or Under Armour from getting involved in this and the biggest and best in every sport padding their pockets? So where the Dukes and the Kentuckys in basketball and the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Texas, the biggest markets and the biggest teams, the Clemsons in college football continue to further their position because, hey, if you go over there and you're a Heisman candidate quarterback, Nike's going to get involved and drop 150 grand on you because they can now market you as a college athlete. And they got the money to do it.
Mm-hmm. They'll steer you to the brands.
Is there anything about this conversation that would say that wouldn't be legal?
No.
This doesn't have to be an individual or a local business.
No. Could be anybody. Any business. Anybody that's got the money and willing to do it.
And this is where the NCAA's got to come in and set some guidelines up.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about the Pac-12 right now. If this went, just say this law went into effect January 1, 2020 instead of 2023. You've got four schools in the state of California, and the rest of the Pac-12 is, you know, in Arizona and Washington and other states. You talk about an unlevel playing field. Just look at the example of what the Pac-12 has at their doorstep as a conference right now if this thing rolls forward. Because now the schools like UCLA, like USC, like Cal, all have a huge advantage.
They do. It's a difference maker. And one of the things that I find funny, Tommy, is you know that if we're doing this show, Lord willing, in 2023, 2024, and Arkansas is having a bad season, somebody's going to call in and say, like, this is how we're paying these players this amount of money to give us these crappy results. And that's how it's going to be. And then if anything's going wrong or if your team's not very good, then everyone's going to be, well, just back up the money truck. Call Jerry Jones. He'll still be around. He'll still have the check that he can just open up to everybody. Well, I mean, then it's going to become to where it's no longer about recruiting. It's no longer about development. It's about paying.
But here's the problem, particularly football. It's still a team sport.
It is.
And this is going to make it, I think, fracture the team spirit even more. When guys are less about team and more about me and more about individual and more about getting theirs and more about all of those things, which that's the world we live in anyway, but now we're going to magnify that. Now we're going to multiply that. I think it's going to make championships even harder to win, even for the bigger teams.
Yep. Because then you have your right tackle over there that was just a 3-star coming out of high school.
But
that's not making anything but the star quarterbacks over there rolling in the dough and doesn't really care that much about this.
Yeah, it creates a locker room problem, but it also creates a focus issue.
Yeah.
Hey, coach, I can't make film today. I got to go sign these autographs. Got $25,000 on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Got a deal here.
Or be like, hey, coach, my mom needs a new house.
I'm sure we're actually, from what it will end up being, we're probably talking in extremes, but this is why the NCAA has to come in and define this and get it right, or this is what it will end up being, is the wild, wild west on this stuff.
Yeah. NCAA finds themselves in a pickle right now, and we'll see how they develop it and see if they can get themselves out of it.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Ben is in Springdale. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
I agree with most what you guys are talking about. I think it's going to be a while. I also agree that this is probably not the best thing for NCAA, but my thing is, how does this affect the coaches? Because, in my opinion, like, let's say Nick Saban, I got 30 players, I'm exaggerating, that are getting paid, and where's his kickback?
I mean, I guess his kickback is in the salary that he's making. I mean,
yeah, but he's going to want something out of, in my opinion, yes, he's making a great salary, but these coaches, if they have a bunch of kids that are getting paid, then he's going to want some sort of kickback from that, in my opinion.
I mean, you watch college football, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing what, Regions Bank commercials? Saban, talking about Saban. And then who's the other insurance company? He's got the blue sport coat on. He's got all the rings.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know.
Yeah, and he has a Coke bottle in front of him.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean.
But that's Alabama, not him. Now, the commercials I get, but. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's another thing.
The point is he's allowed to do that.
Right.
And I'm sure that somehow it is financially enhancing his life to some degree for him to do those commercials. He's not doing it out of the goodness and kindness of his heart. There's something in it for Nick Saban. And the question is, what if Regions Bank didn't want Nick Saban anymore? They wanted Tua Tagovailoa to do that commercial. Or Tua to do the commercial with Nick Saban. Or, I mean, here's the thing. When it's undefined because the NCAA hasn't stepped in and put boundaries and guidelines on it, and they will, you know, all of these things seem to be open to conversation right now.
Yeah, and you even kind of turned that around, and that's a great point, Tommy. Yeah, maybe it's not Nick Saban anymore, and it is a college player. So I totally
agree. How's the coach going to like it when, Coach Saban, we had you do the commercial last year. We're going to have a couple of your players do the commercial this year. Instead of paying you the $500,000, we're going to pay them $50,000 or $100,000 each, and we're going to save some money on it and have just as good a commercial.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were talking about the players, and I was going to just call in and say, how does this affect the coach?
Yeah. Well, appreciate the phone call, Dan, and call back anytime, man.
Here's how I think it affects the coaches is long-term, they may have less bargaining power and less earning power long-term.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, the handful of coaches are at the right schools, the Coach K's, the Coach Calipari's, the Coach Saban's of the world, though Dabo in there, they're probably going to do okay. The talent may get so spread out. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how it plays out. The bargaining power for the coaches may not be there because some of the money that's been going to the universities may be going elsewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still only so much money out there. There's only so many dollars to float the boat. And if the dollars start going somewhere else, well, they got to leave other places. So one of the obvious spots would be some of these big coaches' contracts.
Yeah, and it's funny you brought that up, Tommy, because in most cases, Nick Saban's kind of the exception, but in most cases, who's the bigger deal on campus? Who's the bigger name draw? Who's the bigger thing?
Usually the starting quarterback in most places.
Right, but it's also like if he's a Heisman Trophy winner or candidate, who was bigger, Johnny Manziel or Kevin Sumlin? Mm-hmm. Who was bigger, Cam Newton or Gus Malzahn?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have these, I know that those are iconic players, but Baker Mayfield or Lincoln Riley, those guys are going to be the ones that they turn to now. So that's another great point. So the coaches may be like, hey, wait a minute.
Wait.
I was supposed to be the bigger name here.
I'm supposed to be the deal, and I'm supposed to be the guy in the Regions Bank commercial.
Yeah. Or like Ed Orgeron did at Ole Miss, the Hummer commercial where he couldn't understand what he was saying. Yeah, that's what people really want. What?
Y'all have heard of him do the
voice, it was the Hummer commercial, wasn't it? Was it
You've
Hummer?
Heard that, right?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that, it was.
I don't know if it's fantastic, but I've heard it.
Yeah. Well, and we heard something. We don't know what he was saying, but we heard something in it. So let's go ahead and get into your Hog update here on the Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it is time for your Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Hey, Glock days are at the end of this week, Friday and Saturday, and only at Ozark Sportsman Supply. This Friday and Saturday, the biggest and best savings of the year on Glocks for 2 days only. So hurry in. Last year, they ran out of pistols. They sold more than 60 in 2 days. And you get a ton of free extras when you buy a Glock this weekend at the Ozarks. A three-month free membership to their amazing new indoor range. That's a $200 value right there. A high-quality Glock double pistol bag, free box of ammo, and a high-end Glock coffee mug are all included in your purchase this weekend. Plus, you can register to win a new Glock during this event as well. Get all the details when you stop in for Glock Days this Friday and Saturday, and it's only at the Ozarks. Ozark Sportsman Supply, Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So for your Hog update, Arkansas versus Kentucky will be at 6:30 p.m. next Saturday night on the SEC Network. So no 11 a.m. games for you Razorback fans. It's going to be a late one, which that means for us here on the pregame and postgame, our Arkansas game day show will start at 1:30 in the afternoon, and we'll have our postgame show somewhere around 11:30 or midnight.
Late into the night.
Yes. So, and you know what? Those aren't so bad, especially if Arkansas actually finds a way to get an SEC victory. So, but we'll have all that coverage for you again. That's next Saturday. Bye weeks this week, so no Razorback football going on as well. But just remember, folks, this Saturday, red-white game in Barnhill.
Yes.
Don't forget about that. 3 p.m.
You think it'll be jam full? Everybody was excited about it when it was first announced. Do you think that, because it's general admission, first come, first serve, you better be there and stand in line, all of these things, the nostalgia, just keep adding to the list. Do you think there's 10,000 there for this event?
I don't know if 10,000 will be there. That's a lot.
Well, I mean, that's what it takes to fill this 9,700 and something.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a seat. I don't know if it'll be like standing room only type of deal, but it'll be tough to find a seat for that because, let's be honest, there's still going to be a lot of adrenaline from it and from the announcement. And this Saturday, I was trying to check the weather and what it's going to be like in Fayetteville, because I know that does matter. There are chances of storms on Saturday, so we'll see. You know, weather always can hold people off. I know it's indoors, but still. I think there'll be a ton of people there. People are wanting to see something exciting and new, and this will be their first look at an Eric Musselman team. And, of course, Nolan Richardson will be there and be honored. And I doubt Eddie Sutton will actually be there. But
His health's not good.
Yeah, his health is in bad shape. But they still will have the honorings. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of former players there, Tommy. A lot of guys that played at Barnhill. So it'll be a big event. And I think it'll be great. And I know that everyone has really been wondering about this. But, Nick Mason's joining us on the Morning Rush tomorrow.
Good.
That's the rumor. So he's going to come in and talk to us about Eric Musselman and some of the recruiting elements that have been going on with that as well. But there's a lot of excitement in the air for Razorback basketball to get going. So, and did you say you're going to be going to that, or are you going to be able to?
I don't know. Here's what I'm really thinking about doing is going to St. Louis. Haven't been to a Cardinal game all year. They play Sunday against the Braves. Kind of waiting to see what the game time is on that.
Are you a Cardinal fan?
Casual, yeah.
Bandwagon.
my family, my grandfather was a huge Cubs fan. The rest of my dad, my uncle, everybody else are big Cardinal fans. So
okay,
we're thinking seriously about going up for the game on Sunday. So I may not be able to go just because I don't think all of us have a lot of faith that the Cardinals are going to get into the World Series. You can't. Several years ago, you'd wait for the Cardinals. We're not going to go to the NLDS. I'll wait for the NLCS or the World Series. The Dodgers look pretty tough this year. So,
but the Cardinals have been killers to the Dodgers in the playoffs too. But that's fine.
Hey, aren't bad.
Listen, if that's what you're doing instead of going to the Home Depot, then I will give you credit for it.
It's a bye weekend. You'd kind of like to get out and do something. And the red white games would be awesome. If you could buy a ticket, I got these four seats on this row, and I don't have to stand in line for 3 hours or 2 hours to get in for general admission, I'd be more apt to go to that event. I'm just not a guy that's going to stand in line for an hour and a half for a GA seat. Sorry.
Because, by God, you're Tommy Kraft. Well, no, you don't
I'm not going to spend 2 hours of my day doing that on my off weekend. Yeah. Sorry.
I understand.
I want to watch college football.
I understand. But again, the reason I said that is because I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just one of your things that you don't like waiting. You don't like waiting in lines. For anything. If it's for a checkout at Walmart or if it's for in a fast food restaurant drive through, you don't like waiting.
Nope.
Yeah. It's a waste of time, right?
Wasting my time.
Okay. Well, the thing is I probably will end up like wanting to wait because
I think you're going to have to wait in line to guarantee you a seat. This weekend.
Listen, when I was in the student section, that's all I did was wait in line hours before a game just to get a front row seat. So obviously I have no life, so I can just go ahead and do that and not even worry about it. But yeah, there'll be a good crowd there for sure, and I'm really excited about it. I know that we've had some people texting in about the Pay-for-Play Act by California. We'll get back into that, I promise, folks, and we'll get to your phone calls and text messages on. I wanted to switch gears, though, because Tom Murphy, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, is going to be joining us here in about 15 minutes. I'm looking forward to catching up with him. I wanted to get back and shift it to Razorback football. And this was a question I asked on social media in our poll question. And I think that we can really dive into this, since now that you're five games through the season, it's not the halfway point, but it's close enough for government work, at least. You're five games into the season. You're heading into a bye week. You got Kentucky next Saturday. We've seen this team have its ups and have its downs, mainly downs, but still have some ups here as well. So given what we had been discussing all offseason and what we were looking forward to, what we thought about everything to this point, what are the things that are better than what we expected? Mm-hmm. And what are the things that are worse than what we expected?
Better? Start with better?
Let's start with better. With the good.
I think better is quarterback play. I think we expected improvement in the quarterback play. And maybe this is coming off of the A&M game where we saw the quarterback spot is deeper than we thought a couple of weeks ago, that Ben Hicks, who we heard coming back into the segment with some of his comments after the game, is a more capable backup than we thought a week ago. I think quarterback play with the one and the two with Starkel and Hicks has really elevated. So we knew there would be improvement. I think there is exponential improvement in the quarterback play. More than I expected.
You know, I was thinking,
and I know Starkle had 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
In San Jose State, I know that he had one there that led to the injury. But the quarterback play has been what has led this offense to whatever successes you think it's had. It's been because of better quarterback play.
Yeah. No, and that's kind of the direction I was going to go when it came to things that are better, because the quarterback, just like anything that you would probably say is better than what you thought on this team, the quarterback was so bad last year, the quarterback position, that this year, pretty much as long as you had some sort of pulse, I mean, it was this that bad that it was going to be improved. But certainly when we have good Nick Starkle, because I think that that's obviously what we've seen, when we have good Nick Starkle, Colorado State Nick Starkle, it changes everything. It changes the entire dynamic of the team, to where not only are you having him making good decisions and good throws, but just the threat alone of his long ball, because he can throw a deep ball beautifully. Having that threat puts some pressure off the rushing attack, puts some pressure off the offensive line. It just opens up so much. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Offensive line play has been better than – and I think it's because I expected nothing.
Again, it goes back to low expectations.
So don't mishear me out there and think I think offensive line plays great. It's not. It's not even good. But I expected horrible. It's not been horrible. It's been maybe approaching good.
Yeah. It's not great.
And when they're healthy, when you got everybody on the field, it's been serviceable. And I wasn't even expecting that. So I guess the key to life is having low expectations, and that's what I had, was low expectations with the offensive line. I think they've exceeded my extremely low expectations.
Yeah, aim low.
Yeah.
And then you never have to worry about being disappointed.
And feel good about the middle.
That's right.
Right.
So, but the one route I'd want to go, though, with something that at least stood out to me, and again, this is all just your personal opinion, because I think that there's a lot of different things you could say has been improved or what's better than what you expected, but it just depends on what you actually expected. The freshman wide receivers, specifically Trey Knox and Treylon Burks, had a lot of hype coming in. I mean, during the fall camp, it was being talked about as just, man, these guys are difference makers. They're game breakers. They're big, tall, physical wide receivers that are going to be able to make a good, an immediate impact, which that's fine. And I get it. And I expected that, but I guess I did not expect them to be where they walked into the room. They went out there on the field and boom, just like that, it became from having zero home run threat like you had last year to having one that's not even just good for Arkansas standards, but good for any football team standards. Mm-hmm. I mean, it gets to the point to where, like against Texas A&M on Saturday, for instance, you didn't have Trey Knox, which would have been a huge, huge deal if he was able to play, but he wasn't healthy. But you had Treylon Burks. When I saw Ben Hicks, who does not have a big arm, let's just be honest, he doesn't have the big arm like Nick Starkle. But when I saw him backing up and looking downfield, and as soon as he tossed it, which looked like maybe it was a 20, 25-yard pass, I'm like, if that's going to Treylon Burks, because you couldn't tell on television, but if that's going to Treylon Burks, I feel good that's going to get caught.
Right.
I mean, because he is just that athletic, that big, that type of threat, to where I'm not saying you can't throw an accurate ball and he's going to get up and get it every time, but you at least have that element to where if you do throw it up, you got a guy like Treylon Burks or like Trey Knox who can go up and get it, and as a true freshman, that's impressive.
If you'd had Burks against San Jose and a healthy Knox, probably a different outcome.
Yeah. Maybe don't throw 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be a big key too as well. So, but wide receivers I've been really impressed by. And I know that the expectation was high for at least them as freshmen, but even for freshman standards, I think as long as they stay healthy, you got to get them healthy. That's been the biggest deal for them as well. Morning Rush on this Toyota Tuesday. Be sure to check out all new 2019 Toyota vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people, the stylish new Corolla, the work-ready family Tough Tundra, and the go-anywhere 4Runner. Toyota, let's go places. And let's shift it over now to what's worse, because I think there's a lot of things you could look at this way too, because again, it's about your expectations. But you personally, Tommy, what's worse than what you thought?
Well, I don't know if it's worse, but I expected more improvement. So, I mean, it's not worse than last year necessarily, but I expected it to be better this year.
What it is.
And that's coaching. I mean, I just don't see... I mean, and I guess I've still got it in my crawl about what happened with San Jose State and the fact that the team was clearly not ready, and that comes back to coaching. For whatever reason, and it starts with Chad Morris, this coaching staff isn't on the same page, or they're not getting through to the players. And because to me, the coaching of this team has really underwhelmed and disappointed to this point, and a lot of that's just one of the worst losses in the history of the program. That's on coaching, and I don't think that you can really look past that when particularly the coach comes out and tells you and admits, hey, this team wasn't ready to go. And when you got players making statements that, hey, we're going to shut them down to no yards and 70, we're going to score 70 and making just idiotic statements, and essentially they mentally took a week off from their opponent, looked past them to get ready for A&M. Now, give the coaching staff credit for making a tremendous bounce back, but they still didn't win against A&M. But to me, John, and I'm not one to pile on coaches, because generally there's a lot that they're doing at a level that we don't understand. But the lack of preparation for this team against San Jose State cannot go unnoticed.
Yeah, because listen, when I was looking up this list, that's the first place I went to as well. And I'll take it one step further, not only just to coaching, but the basic discipline, the amount of pre-snap penalties where you're not getting lined up correctly, you're having guys shift when they're not supposed to shift. I mean, that play, I know that it wasn't a touchdown play, but that big play against A&M, where I think it was like a 50-yard gain to Treylon Burks.
It was a big play against Ole Miss that came back.
Yeah, same thing there, too, where it's just, it's killer. And I guess the frustrating thing, and it goes back to coaching, but the frustrating thing is like, these are basics. Well, these are things that you should have figured out. Now, I know they're going to happen, but it happens way too frequently.
But neither one of us believe, and nobody listening out there believes, the coaches are coaching them to line up improperly.
No. Of course not, but it's the translation of what they're needing them to do to them actually executing what they need to do.
Right.
That's somewhere lost. There's something, and I don't know if it's not enough repetition and lining up in these formations and in these plays. I don't know if it's just maybe more confusing for the players, but there's obviously some sort of breakdown, Tommy. Because again, if it happens once every so often, hey, it happens. Everyone makes mistakes in football, but the amount of times that it's happened, game after game, that's to me just doesn't make sense, because you're going to commit penalties, but at least get lined up correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's stuff you learn in junior
high. Well, I mean, and you look back, I remember the 2012 season, that was a chronic issue, illegal formations that wiped out plays. It's been a problem last year. It's a problem this year. It just seems to be some of the basic stuff where Arkansas cannot get the right people in the right places. You can't have five in the backfield. I mean, it's just, you cannot do it. So those are the things. And like you were talking about with the play this week, you can't cover up a slot receiver on the inside and then him go downfield. Generally, that's a clue to the defense. Hey, if the inside slot receiver's covered, this is probably a running play. Or it's going to be a bubble screen behind the line of scrimmage. That's an indicator to the defense of what you're getting ready to run. And then when you send the guy downfield, I mean, those are the things that just, you know, somebody's got to be aware of pre-snap and call a timeout. And then, speaking of timeouts, how many timeouts during games have just been baffling, just head-scratching? That's the other thing with it that I just can't seem to understand is timeouts that make no sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, the organization in the execution of certain basic things is lacking. And again, it ultimately falls back on coaching, and it falls back on Chad Morris and his staff to make sure these guys are ready.
But at the end of the day, I mean, Chad Morris is still a new head coach at this level. I know he had a few years at SMU. He's a coordinator at a Power 5 level, but this is a different animal. I mean, a head coach, how many decisions will a head coach in the SEC make in a day? 100?
Easily.
200?
Easily.
300?
Lots.
You know, and a lot of them probably don't have a lot of long-term big decisions, but, you know, this is still all new to Chad Morris at this point as well. He's learning on the job how to be a head coach, too.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Dealing with some of the things from Razorback football that are better and worse than what we expected heading into the season. And, you know, I think that we could really continue on with that discussion, because there's a lot of things to unfold. And maybe we should look at the middle ground now. Is there anything about this football team that's about what we expected?
Yeah. is defensive line. That was supposed to be one of the strengths of this team. Then you lost Dorian Gerald early in the year. Huge loss. One of your starters, one of your seniors. Is the defensive line living up to your expectations right now? This was a team that really got a lot of pressure. And you know, you look at this last week, what, 8 tackles for loss, couple of sacks. This has been a team that's put pressure on opponents at times. Maybe not been as consistent. And all been defensive line, but it starts up front. It always starts up front. And it can't always be measured in sacks. It has to be measured in TFLs, quarterback hurries. It's not always just how many sacks you get. It's to me, how many. What's the difference really between a tackle for loss and a sack?
It's essentially the same thing, right? Yep.
So, I think this is a team that has the defensive line lived up to your expectations.
It hasn't mine, really. And I'm not trying to sit here and say that it was going to be 2014 Razorback defense aligned with Trey Flowers and Darius Phylon and those guys. But I was at least expecting a D-line that could get a little more pressure on the quarterback and wreak a little more havoc than what they have. And again, I get Dorian Gerald's a huge loss because that was a guy that's been around the program a lot. He was a senior and he was playing really well in the game that he was in. I guess Portland State, he was pretty disruptive in that game. So it just makes you wonder if he was healthy completely, what would he have been like? What would it have been like if he had Jamario Bell healthy from the get-go, too?
Mateo Solli, you've had to play him with one arm,
yeah,
essentially,
yeah.
One hand, I guess.
And being a true freshman, too. I mean, those are never easy combinations to deal with. So it's like I understand that there's been some things about this defensive line that's held them back. But at the same time, though, the defensive line is if you're going to have a solid defense or an SEC-level defense, it's got to start up there. And because, listen, Scooter Harris is a good linebacker. He's not. I don't want to say he's all American, all SEC linebacker, but he's a really good linebacker. And Bumper Pools, I think he's going to end up being a stud. He's still in his sophomore year, but he's been battling injury within himself. But when it comes to linebackers, that's all you got. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. And if you don't have an elite defensive line, the guys behind you are certainly not going to look as good either.
This has got to be a year where Morgan and Henry have to come along at linebacker. By the end of the year, they've got to get on an SEC level, right? To set the table for next year?
Yeah, but I don't know if they can. I don't know if they're that level of athlete. I think they're fine and they've made some plays, but there's also been some plays, Tommy, and I think about Texas A&M specifically, that you know there was some missed key plays by Hayden Henry.
Well, I mean, the biggest misplay you saw was the one by Scooter Harris.
Right.
Mond made him look silly.
Yeah, where he could have stopped him on a third down and forced him to punt.
Huge play.
So I'm not trying to say that, you know, that these other linebackers have been without fault, because they have been. But that to me should be the number one, first and foremost and second most, however most, maybe next to the offensive line, of the position group you have to get better at in recruiting. Because linebacker's everything defensively. Yeah. You got to have more than just one serviceable one. You got to have at least 3 starting SEC caliber linebackers back there.
They showed Saturday that they can play at least at a good middle of the pack level in the SEC. Again, what, 8 tackles for loss, a sack, a quarterback hurry, I believe was the stats from Saturday. So they were able to get a push on really what's not a great A&M offensive line. There's going to be better offensive lines that you play in the SEC. But they did a good job on Saturday against the best offensive line I think you've seen to this point in the year. Now, I think, just my opinion, Kentucky's got a better O-line. Kentucky's not a better team than A&M. I think Kentucky's got a better offensive line than A&M. So they may not have the numbers against Kentucky that they were able to put up as far as getting pressures on Kentucky's backfield that they were against A&M.
Yeah. Now that's going to be key as well. Another element, though, that I want to throw in as far as being about what I expected of this Razorback team 5 games in would be both running backs and tight ends. Because the expectation was, if there was a position group, especially on offense, that you felt most confident in, it was running back number one, because you had Rakeem Boyd coming back, who's a stud, and you also had Devwall Whaley and Chase Hayden, guys who've had experience that were highly recruited coming out of high school. No, it's just high school, but have been around a while. Mm-hmm. And then you're also going to have the return of T.J. Hammonds four games into the season. I know he's more like a hybrid where he can be a wide receiver and a running back, but still, you're going to have those guys. And then tight end, before the season started, again, at tight end, you knew you had Cheyenne O'Grady, which he has proven himself to be an elite player. Probably will be a player that plays on Sundays if he can get it all together and continue to be consistent there. And he's that level. And then you also had the excitement coming along with it of Hudson Henry,
mm-hmm.
who, of course, was the number one player coming out of the state, and we all knew how great he was. Now, he hasn't played this year, but you knew that he was going to be there. You knew a guy like Chase Harrell had put on the weight, and he was going to be out there. Those are the two positions that you were saying, hey, if there was something you could count on, something you have depth at, those are the positions. And I know that, obviously, Hudson Henry has not played at all this season, and Chase Harrell's definitely had his case of the drops on occasion. But there's no doubt that guys like Cheyenne O'Grady and Rakeem Boyd specifically, those two positions, I mean, those are your playmakers. Those are your best players you have offensively, and they knew the expectation going in, and they've answered the bell so far. I mean, if you're – I know that because obviously Arkansas did it when the game was on the line, but, you know, if you need a fourth down play late in the game, wouldn't you rather go to Cheyenne O'Grady than anybody else?
He's your best – Your best two offensive football players are Rakeem Boyd and Cheyenne O'Grady.
Yes.
Now, which order do you put them in? If it's fourth and five, I think you got to go to O'Grady. If it's fourth and two, you maybe go to Boyd. But Arkansas has not been able to get fourth and short, third and short, anything running the ball. They've had to go to the outside. We saw that with Whaley on the outside play after they went time and time again up the middle in the previous game against San Jose State.
That's more of an O-line issue.
But right. But Boyd, I think is there any question that Boyd and O'Grady are your best football players?
Zero question
maybe
about
on the
it.
Team.
I don't know how you can make an argument.
You might want to throw Harris in the conversation, but those are your best football players regardless of side of the ball. So why would you not go to O'Grady or Boyd when the game's on the line? The possessions on the line, whatever's on the line, why would I not go to those guys when it matters most? I mean, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anyone surprised that there with, what was it, 31 seconds to go, and I know it bounced off his shoulder pads near his hands or whatever, that it was O'Grady that they threw it to?
No.
That Hicks threw it to? I'm not.
Did you see anybody that was saying, why are you throwing it to O'Grady in that situation? No. That's who you want to throw it
right.
to.
The only other option would be to throw it to Rakeem Boyd out of the backfield somehow or get him into space. I mean, though that would be, you know, in a more than fourth and short. And again, I don't trust this offense to run the ball when the game's on the line. You got to, unless you're going to get it into space and some kind of bubble screen, which is an extended handoff essentially behind the line of scrimmage. Those are the players I want the ball in their hands if you've got to get a critical first down to extend the game. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's who it is.
Mm-hmm. And it's great. I know you'd like to have more than one option, but it's great that you have two options, at least, of guys that when you need a play, they can make the play.
Burks may be becoming a new member of that category.
Yeah, he is, man. His hands are incredible.
And if Knox gets healthy, I mean, was he 6'5"?
He's 6'5".
Burks is 6'3". I mean, those guys create mismatch problems. What I'd like to see is, while everybody's thinking, they're going to O'Grady here, when you get yourself in another situation, maybe on the 12th of October at Kentucky with the game on the line, and, hey, this is a critical fourth and three, and you don't get it, the game's over, hey, they're going to go to O'Grady here, and you go to Burks, everybody's focused on O'Grady, and Burks creates that mismatch and gets you 10 or 12 or more, or scores, because everybody's keyed in on O'Grady or Boyd because, hey, they're not going to go to anywhere other than these two guys. That's what the scouting would show, right?
That's right.
That'd be what a smart coach would zero in on.
Mm-hmm.
And Burks becomes a trusted guy you can call his number in a critical situation. I think he's becoming that kind of player.
Yeah. And the other factor is, too, Tommy, is that in five games, you've really only had one game this season where you had your best quarterback in Nick Starkel. You had, of course, Trey Knox and Treylon Burks, maybe not 100% healthy, but they were healthy enough to play. You had Rakeem Boyd and you had Cheyenne O'Grady all playing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That game was Colorado State. And how did that offense look that day? is the best they've looked all season. I mean, they didn't have any turnovers. They were making good plays. They were blocking well, but when you have all those options in place and you have that entire threat, it makes the difference in every way, shape, and form. If you had Trey Knox healthy for A&M, I'm not guarantee it would have been a victory for Arkansas, but
he's one more guy to be accountable
for. That's right. And it's one more guy that A&M, which we know that they've had their struggles, they would have to account for.
Imagine those quick hitters, you know, those little quick slants and those little quick outs. And that he just, his long reach, his big frame, he's just a hard matchup. I mean, that's a quick 5 or 6 or 7 yards. I mean, he's just a hard stop there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he may not get you on those type of design plays 30, but you're not taking 6 or 7 on first or second down. How many times are you taking that? You know? So, I mean, you got to be careful, and good defenses will jump that route that they got good SEC athletes, but that's what Trey Knox can give you when healthy, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's why this bye week comes at such a perfect time for Arkansas, to where you have to get these guys healthy, a guy like Trey Knox healthy, because you see what difference it can make. And going up against Kentucky, listen, I'm not going to say it's an easy victory, because nothing's easy in Arkansas. We all know that. But we also know that going up against Kentucky, and as I mentioned, their quarterback situation, where they may have to rely on a fourth-string quarterback, a guy that doesn't even play quarterback, who played it in high school, and a guy by the name of Lynn Bowden. There we go. But they're having to rely on him, and that could be an element that could go a long way for Arkansas.
Well, Arkansas's got to get to a point where you get healthy, you go into Kentucky, and you've got offensive sets with personnel groupings where you've got Burks, Knox, O'Grady, Boyd, Starkel all on the field at the same time. Now that's the best. I mean, is there a better combination? With a healthy offensive line?
No.
I mean, that's what you got to get on the field, right? So that's the best offensive weapons I think Arkansas has. So, I mean, if Arkansas can keep that on the field for 50-something plays out of 80-something snaps or whatever it would be, I like Arkansas's chances to be in the game in the fourth quarter.
I do, too. Because even when Kentucky was healthy at the quarterback situation, they had to – replace a lot of pieces from what they lost last year, because last year was an iconic year for Kentucky Wildcat football. You don't see that happen very often. But, you know, this year, if you're just looking at their statistics, for instance, I mean, they're not an offensive juggernaut. They scored 38 points against Toledo and 38 points against Eastern Michigan, but against Florida, they have 21. Mississippi State, they scored 13. And South Carolina, they scored 7. So, obviously, offense is going to be an issue there. It's going to be about your offense, Arkansas, and if you're able to take advantage of the fact that they're going to be a little undermanned offensively. Can you outscore your opponent? And again, that's why health goes back to everything, because having these guys healthy opens it all up. And if you can score points and score points at will against Kentucky, I think Kentucky's offense is in big enough trouble, and I think Arkansas's defense is at least good enough to get the victory there. Now, there's going to be some other elements that go into it, like your team being prepared to play and having a good game plan and not making a lot of stupid mistakes. Those are all going to have to go into it. But as far as matchups go and as far as health goes, if everything is working out in your favor in that way, where your guys are healthy and Kentucky's still struggling at quarterback, there's no reason why you can't get out of Lexington with a victory.
Still about Colton Jackson, Dalton Wagner, Myron Cunningham coming in relieving those guys, Austin Capps, Ricky Stromberg, Ty Clary, those guys up front as well.
Yeah, because if you got a healthy offensive line, then it makes all the difference in the world in the SEC.
Hey, do you have experience transporting frozen and refrigerated goods and want to be part of a trucking family with insurance and be home every week? You need to contact Brent Higgins Trucking. They've been doing it since 1997. They're out of Mulberry, but they proudly deliver to and from various areas of the United States, including but not limited to Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Brent Higgins Trucking, where your name, not just a number. Contact them at 479-997-2366 or online at BrentHigginsTrucking.com.
Chris texted into our Cherokee Casino hotline saying, worse than expected is the win-loss column. Ultimately, that's the only thing that matters, which I agree with, because let's be honest, Tommy, even in the worst-case scenario through 5 games, we thought they'd at least be 3-2, right? By beating Portland State, by beating San Jose State, and by beating Colorado State, those were 3 wins that it was not even a question. So, yeah, I think that's absolutely, you are, as far as your wins, losses, and go, you are worse off than what you thought you would be. Yeah. Right?
No, I mean, again, the frustrating part is if you played at the level you played what we saw this last Saturday, even in a loss, should have beat Ole Miss and definitely beat San Jose State. At worst, this team should be 3-2.
At worst.
I mean, there's just no excuse for losing to San Jose State. And I still think that this team is good enough to beat Ole Miss.
And it's going to be, I said it when it happened. It's going to be one of those games you're going to look at the end of the season. It's like, man, if that game was 3 weeks later,
yeah,
instead of being the second week of the season when you're still trying to get things figured out offensively, the difference it would have been.
Yep.
But
or if the game had been at home, perhaps.
Yeah, but it's a woulda, coulda, shoulda thing. You're only as good as what your record says you are. And that's why this game against Kentucky is going to be so pivotal, because as far as your quote-unquote easiest remaining games, especially in the SEC, this is your best shot.
Yep.
Kentucky is.
Well, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Missouri, you must win two of those three.
I don't know if they do.
I'm just saying you must win two of those three and of course beat Western Kentucky.
So I would
get you to five.
Five wins.
That's what we've said, or I've said, is the floor.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the way I would have gone about it. I mean, we talked about winning the four non-conference games. You got to make up for it with a extra conference win, and you got to do that by beating Mississippi State or beating Kentucky, or you got to win two of these three. I mean, just because you messed the bed against San Jose State doesn't mean you should. You just got to overcome it. You got to overcome it by beating Kentucky on the road. You got to overcome it by beating Mississippi State's not as good as we thought they were in August.
No.
Mississippi State is not the team we thought they were. Go beat them. They're coming to your place. No reason you can't do that. You think Mississippi State's better than Arkansas? Decidedly better?
No. I wouldn't say decidedly. You know, of course, they'll have to settle it on the field and we'll find out. But, yeah, they got smoked. Well, I know, but they got smoked by Auburn and they looked terrible against Kansas State. And I know that they beat Kentucky, which is fine. But, yeah, they have not been the team that a lot of people expected them to be.
Next up is Kentucky, and I think Arkansas, that the thing that worries, Kentucky's O-line is really good. That's the best part of their team, I think, but they're down to their fifth-string quarterback or whatever Kentucky's down to now. Can Arkansas take these guys serious and go in and have the mental strength to go win on the road? That, to me, is the key. Do you believe, can you get on the airplane and go to Lexington and believe you can win?
Well, if they lose to Kentucky, their bowl chances are done. But it's done. It's done. They're not going to be.
I'm not even worried. I mean, I know some people are. Are you really worried about it? I mean, just get some wins.
Well, yeah, but
I mean, is there a big difference in being a 5-win or a 6-win team?
Yeah, very big difference.
I guess.
You get that? I mean, yeah, I know, because you could talk about ending the season with possibly some momentum.
I understand, but.
Yeah, and you get the extra month.
That's the most overrated thing ever, bowl practice.
Hey, it's
the most overrated thing people talk about, bowl practice.
I mean, it means something, doesn't it?
It means something for some of these high school players that get to come in and acclimate a little early. It means something but it's going to be a bottom feeder bowl. It's going to distract from recruiting. I think you could make a case that the coaching staff not having to coach football and being able to completely focus on recruiting might be a positive. You could make that case, too.
I think a lot of coaches don't focus on the bowl game. They just say, all right, keep recruiting.
Well, I think you're right. I think they put a lot of analysts and other staff members in charge of practice, and they go recruit.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously everyone wants to win, but it's like, what does it really matter if you lose the Liberty Bowl?
If you're a 5-win versus a 6-win team, is there a big, big difference in that team?
I think it's the potential of the 7th win that you're overlooking. Because think about the Texas Bowl in the end of 2014. If Arkansas only wins 5 games that season, the idea that the team was moving forward.
I understand. It's momentum. It's a chance to have a win in the entire offseason. I get it. So.
Yeah. But, hey, listen, they'll take whatever they can get, even if it is a bottom feeder bowl. They'll take it. I'll take it. I will go to Birmingham and for that bowl game.
But
if that's
you can
the case.
Go without me. So.
I'll party it up in Birmingham.
All right.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.